worldwide fame that perhaps he did or didn't deserve, but pretty influential guy and a great guy, and everyone's going to miss him. And there is a wake for him at Christ Church Cathedral on September the 29th, an open wake for him that there's going to be some speakers there and just a chance to remember Randy's life. So, but thanks for bringing that up.
Well, thank you, Nick, for so eloquently expressing, like, I guess it is only 100 people. Did you do any, way back when, did you do any gigs at the Smiling Buddha with DOA?
Rude Norton did a million. The Pointed Sticks never actually played at the Smiling Buddha. By the time the Smiling Buddha opened up, we kind of, not crossed over is the wrong word, but we had sort of, I don't know, we were getting a little bit too popular to play in that place, I suppose, and our fans weren't Smiling Buddha kind of fans maybe so much. There was a lot of girls, and, downtown Eastside is a pretty rough place that wasn't anywhere near as bad back then as it is now. But it was still a pretty rough place to be at, like midnight on a Friday night if you're a 16-year-old girl trying to sneak in down there. So played there a million times with Rude Norton, played in Rude Norton with Randy a few times as well. I think the Sore Point's original idea for this gig might have been to be at the Smiling Buddha, but I guess things didn't work out. So, unfortunately, maybe next time.
And people should check out tomorrow night
at the Astoria
with the Pointed Sticks
and Chain Whip and Transmitters.
And Peter Early.
I was going to mention lastly here. Have you been to the new Smiling Buddha at all?
I have not. No. Ian has. He told me about it. He said it was good.
But people can learn all about the Smiling Buddha in your amazing song, which we'll play right now, Igor Said by the Pointed Sticks. It's all about Smiling Buddha, isn't it? The doorman, Igor.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
Anything you guys, Sore Points or Chain Whip, want to address Nick with? Mitch, Shane, see you tomorrow night.
Actually, the last Nervous Talk show was that Pointed Stick show at the Rickshaw.
I remember that.
Actually, and that's sort of what led us to start Sore Points, is that the band ended.
Yeah, okay. I remember that. I remember you guys, especially the young guy with the glasses. He was distraught at the end of the night that night.
Joel Butler.
Yeah. That was near the end there. I think I had a cane. I think I walked on stage with a cane.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was the jerk with a cane.
At one point, you guys weren't going to play because of that cane. So.
And I think I hung around at the end of the night demanding cash from
more
you guys.
Money, and I said, I was like, Jesus Christ, guys. You played 20 minutes at the beginning of the night and you got paid. Like, what? The real world. Come on.
And now everything comes around tomorrow night. Pointed Sticks.
Now we're opening for you. There's your reward,
all right? Well, thank you very much, Nick. Keep on.
No problem. I gotta go.
Keep on rocking in the free world and doot-doot-loot-doo.
Doot-doot-doo. Are you coming tomorrow night, Nard?
Oh, yes. I will be there.
Excellent.
And doot-doot-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
See ya. You're still listening to the Nerd War, the Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we still have in the studio right now?
Mitch.
And?
And Shane.
And?
And Patrick.
And Patrick. And Patrick, what did we just hear right there?
That was Igor Said from the Pointed Sticks. That was from their reunion album, 2008, 2006?
2000. Actually, I'm not exact. Maybe 7 or 8. The first reunion album, I think.
3 Lefts Make a Right.
And they are going to be playing on Hastings Street.
Tomorrow night
at the Astoria.
That's right. With Chain Whip and with Shore Points and with the...
Shore Points.
And the Shore Points and the Transmitors.
And people have 1 hour to get tickets, right?
Right. Or you can show up at the door.
And right now, what are we going to end with?
We are going to play Numb by the Sore Points.
By the Sore Points. Anything you want to add, Sore Points, to the people out there at all? And
we'll see you at the show tomorrow. I don't know.
Which is right across, as Nick said, right across from where the...
From the ping pong center.
Where the Pointed Sticks, if you go to YouTube...
They filmed that scene Out of the Blue.
Dennis Hopper.
That's
so
right.
It's right there on Hastings Street.
That's right.
Cool.
The Pointed Sticks.
Playing ping pong.
The Transmitters, and brand new from... A Chain Whip as well. A brand new from the Sore Points. What are we going to hear? Any background on this song right now?
Numb. It's Numb's kind of like a mother's little helper kind of song, right? Does that make any sense?
And you can't go wrong with that.
You know what I mean?
Well, thank you very much, Sore Points. Thank you very much, Hose
Head.
And Doot-Doot-Doot-Doo. Doot-Doot.
Doot-Doot.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh.
Everybody,
God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know.
That's
say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live bands, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar, the human serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Do you like the sound of your own voice? Are you a student that has a lot to say about the University of British Columbia?
If so, there is a place for you.
The UBC Affairs Collective is a brand new collective at CITR 101.9 FM that brings students together to cover campus news, including research developments, arts and culture, live discussions, and lots more.
The collective produces a weekly radio show, the UBC Happy Hour, that airs every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You can find all the episodes podcasted online at citr.ca.
Send an email to ubcaffairs@citr.ca if you'd like to get involved. No prior radio experience is necessary.
You're a member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts around downtown at
Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, Sakura's Classical Records, the Cinematheque, Vinyl Records, and the Fall Tattooing.
You're a member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts on Commercial Drive at
Audio Pile, High Life Records, Mintage, People's Co-op Bookstore, Stormcrow Tavern, The Rio Theater, JQ Clothing Limited, and Bone Rattle Music Limited.
This is Adam Robert Thomas, and this is my debut album. It features Juno Award winner Brad Turner on keys and special guest saxophonist Seamus Blake. Find album and concert information at adamrobertthomas.com. This project is funded in part by Factor, the Government of Canada.
Baby, will you kiss me already and toss your dirty shoes?
insult that we often put onto a lot of folk is like, oh, you're doing too much. So like a couple years ago, I was like,
hello, hello. We are back. This is Word on the Street. I'm your host, Isaac, starting a bit late today after Nardwar, the Human Serviettes show. And today we have quite a few people in here. I'm not so lonely anymore after a long summer. And Isia is already sick of me. I think she's going to leave right now. Only a few minutes in here. So as I said, I'm Isaac. And right now we're just going to go around and say your favorite song, album, or artist from this previous summer. It doesn't have to be from the summer, just what you're feeling, what your vibe was over the summer.
And introduce yourself.
Yeah, and introduce yourself, whether you're old or new. Like I said, quite a few people in here today. So I'll go first. I would say my album of the summer would be Taboo by Denzel Curry. Very solid. And now I'm going to go from my left to my right. So why don't you start us off?
Hey, hey. My name's Jack. And I got to say, this summer I've been listening to a lot of The Mouse Outfit. Their album Step Steadier from 2015 is a really good blend of reggae and rap. They're from Manchester, for anyone that's from there. It's pretty cool to see another band out of Manchester. And their next album is coming out in 2019, so I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, so my name's Gabby, and my favorite song of the summer was La Cintura.
Hi, I'm Ian. My favorite album of the summer was Life's a Trip by Trippie Redd. I listened to a lot of his older stuff too, along with a lot of Velvet Underground this summer. Just, you know, a little bit of everything.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Sinead. My favorite album of the summer was Choose Your Weapon by Hiatus Coyote. I really love all this different stuff that they played in it. I thought it was cool.
Hi, this is Isia. I'm kind of sick, so my voice sounds kind of whack, but I think one of my favorite albums this summer, it just came out, so I guess it's kind of cheating, but Be the Cowboy by Mitski. I have been listening to that on repeat ever since it came out. And my friend's sister, Trisha, she has this playlist called Dad Rock. If you want to listen to that, it's Trish Dog with an A-W, the dog, 22 on Spotify. It's very good, and I've been listening to the Dad Rock playlist just over and over again, so probably those two things.
Hi, I'm Brenna. I think my favorite album this summer was Isolation by Kali Uchis, because like it was a bop. It's like really high energy. It was pretty good. Lyrics were really relatable. And she's playing on September 15th for Westford Fest, so check it out if you can cop some dicks.
Hi, I'm Megan, and my favorite album of the summer is probably Testing by ASAP Rocky, and then like my favorite. It's good. He was like testing different stuff. A lot of people were disappointed, but I don't know.
I didn't like it.
Okay, cool.
I think his other two albums are better.
Yeah, but he's testing. But
okay, sure.
Yeah, anyway. Okay.
Okay, cool. So before we move on, just wanted to remind you, we are broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. Very, very important. We always acknowledge that. Very good. Anyway, speaking of Westward and things like that, any concerts you guys went to recently or any concerts you're going to soon that you're excited for? And we'll just go left to right again.
Hey, so Jack again. And this summer I went to two big things. First one was Center of Gravity in Kelowna, which was amazing. For the price, I highly recommend it for anyone who was going to Pemberton and has been let down recently by Pemberton's recent, troubles. But anyways, my favorite artist from there was definitely Jaws, and he's released an album just now, actually about a week ago, so if you have a chance, check that out on Spotify. And other than that, I went down to Seattle for Smashing Pumpkins' final tour, which was an absolute treat. Yeah,
I'm just curious about Cog. How was Wu-Tang Clan?
You know what, it was honestly a little bit of a magical moment, because we had all eight on stage, and the Cog isn't that big, really, alone, but just for that performance alone, it was like double the crowd of anyone else.
Of course.
Yeah, and it was just packed from the water all the way to the main stage. It was something to see, for sure. It was definitely a spectacle, and yeah, happy I got a chance to see that live, yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Ian here. Over the summer, I was able to go to the 2018 XXL Freshman Show in New York.
Really?
Which,
okay.
Surprising disappointment because none of my guys showed up. You know, I went there to see Ski Master Slump God, Trippie Redd, and Lil Pump. None of them showed. It was really disappointing. I got to see JID and Block Boy, who both really made the most of the opportunity. You know, XXL, you gotta get some stuff together. But I'm willing to, more recently, I'm trying to sell my soul to get some tickets to see Childish Gambino and Ray Schremmerd later this month, because that seems like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Never thought that duo would be touring with him.
Definitely.
And it just seems pretty awesome, yeah.
For sure.
So this summer I went to see King Cruel and Unknown Mortal Orchestra in the same week. It was an awesome week, probably one of the best weeks of my summer. And then I got to see the Flatbush Zombies, which was also really cool. And then at the end of the summer, I saw Beach House, which I loved. I've been waiting to see them for a long time. And up next, I'm going to go see Cigarettes After Sex, Blood Orange, Mitski, and hopefully Brockhampton, I'm pretty sure.
This summer was a weird summer for music because I was in Europe for most of it. So, like, I went to this EDM festival with my cousin and her friends. I don't really like EDM, so... It was, like, amusing, and I don't think I have the stamina for the genre. So, like, people go really hard, especially for, like, the drum and bass. They're just, like, in a trance, and I was like, I'm not on enough drugs to enjoy this at the moment. But I'm excited to go see Raven Lanay. Isaac's going, and Megan's going. And hopefully I'm going to get Mitski tickets and go with Shanae. That'd be fun. And also, I'm seeing the Arctic Monkeys to, like, satisfy my 8th grade, like, needs, because they were, like, one of the first bands I loved. And also, I feel like there's Andy Schauf. He's like from Saskatchewan, and he makes nice sad boy music. So I'm excited for that. Yeah.
The only concert I really remember going to this summer, or most notable, was Cherry Glazer, because she came out while the openers were like setting up and threw bananas at us. It was pretty good. There's a video of me on her Instagram holding a banana. And then I'm going to go see Kelly Uchis on the 15th, bought Reggie Snow Ticks in October, and then might go see Saba for Westford too, so we'll see.
So this summer I went to this festival in Paris, it's called like We Love Green, and that was pretty cool, man. Like I saw like Gus Dapperton, Internet, like Tyler, King Cruel, like just, and all these weird like French bands that were actually like surprisingly really good, so I expanded my taste. And then now I'm gonna go to Camp Flognaw, which I'm like really excited about.
Very jealous.
Yeah, that was like, I'm so excited because there's games and stuff too. Anyway, and then I have tickets for Reggie Snow, Raven Lanay, and then Joji as well, with
AA
Brothers
Rising.
And
yeah.
Rich Brian, all that stuff. So I'm excited.
I forgot also this summer, me and Megan were in London. This was unplanned, but we somehow ended up at this Adidas party and Migos showed up. And like Pharrell was there for like 2 seconds. He like performed Stir Fry with Migos. And like that was a pretty cool moment because we didn't see that coming and it was free. And
how small was that venue?
Yeah, it was like a warehouse and there was like 200 people there. And because it was like a party, everyone was like chill, you know, and they were just like standing around and dancing. It wasn't like aggressive and pushy. Like a Migos concert probably would be, because everyone's trying to get to the front. So, like, everyone was chilling out. So, yeah, that was cool. And okay, no one can hear what Megan's saying right now. But she said I took a photo of some model by mistake. Well, on purpose, but I didn't realize he was a famous model until after the fact. That's not interesting.
Okay. For me, at the very start of the summer, Injury Reserve was a great show. That was way back in May. They actually just announced yesterday they signed to a record label and they have their debut album coming out. Excited for that.
Self-titled, right?
Yeah, self-titled, Injury Reserve. Also saw JPEG Mafia recently, and when I went to the show, I had food poisoning. Totally worth it, though. I was, like, not feeling great at all, but once I stayed and he finally came on around 11:30, pretty late.
Yeah, but he played for, like, half. It was, like, a super short set.
Because Veteran, great album from January, is, like, an hour long, but he probably did, like, less than half of it. And then
he didn't play his new song.
Yeah, he did All Caps, No Spaces, which is an older song of his. Mm-hmm. But what a weirdly energetic performer, like, how he moves around. And also, he likes to do the worm, like, literally on the ground. a very sweaty guy.
The opener was really interesting too. Hermit?
Yeah, Hermit. Definitely check out Hermit.
Yeah, he had a song called I Beat My Meat. And it was very interesting. And he played Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne and like made
and
everyone pit.
To it.
So like it was really funny.
Also, he had a song. It was like about being himself. He was like, I'm gonna be me or something like that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, was and that the one about like anime and like
yeah,
staying had, at home and like not super, going outside like, or something?
He was super unique. Like
yeah, he was a wholesome boy.
I think. And it's like not what you think.
He looked really young too.
Yeah, and it's like not your like stereotypical image of what you think of a rapper.
Yeah.
It was very like he's his own person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Went to Rex Orange County too. That was really nice. Like super chill guy. Just like surprisingly like rough crowd for Rex though, like very aggressive. But it was cool when he brought his girlfriend out who is on Sycamore Girl, and then they sang it together. So that was sweet. And speaking of shows and such, tonight you can join Isaiah, Megan, and I, and maybe some others, at this event called Hip Hop Heels, featuring former leader of the Music Affairs Collective, Eric himself, with his group, the Afrolution. So that's at 8 p.m. tonight, and it's at the second floor eatery and bar on 808 Butte Street. That's near Robson Street. Starts at 8 p.m., $13 at the door. All proceeds to charity for Music Heals Canada. Great event. Definitely check out Eric's stuff, the Afrolution. A very wholesome, cool dude from Kenya. Taught us everything we know, right? So, anyway, also tomorrow, Club Sofa is releasing their debut album. We've had them around here before. We played their music. We've been to some of their shows. And that is tomorrow night. And Love Supreme will be there. Wax Cowboy will be there. And Kai Bravewood will be there. Usually there's this combo of three of those, except for Kai Bravewood and Winona Forever, and that's called Trash City, but Winona's kind of blowing up a bit more now. They're going across Canada. So you can check that out, and that'll be at the Russian Hall. And anything else anybody wants to say about concerts, or maybe concerts they wish they could go to, or shows, or anything?
I'll talk about Contact coming up here. It's a big Vancouver thing. Everyone, for the most part, if you're into EDM at all, it's a big rave, and it would be my first indoor one. But I got to nerd out a little bit here because Skrillex is coming.
Oh, really?
And and you know, like the Chainsmokers are going too, but I'm not into the Chainsmokers as much, that mainstream stuff. But I've just been listening to Skrillex since grade 7. I used to be one of those nerds. I did have a Skrillex Facebook cover photo, I'm not gonna lie. It did happen. But yeah, the tickets aren't gonna be too bad for one day, so if anyone wants to go, I'm sure it's gonna be a good time if you like Skrillex or Galantis as well as going. Yeah, some good artists going for sure.
Definitely. Anyone else? Any comments? Ideas?
I actually wanted to pick up, you said you went to XXL, right?
Yeah, I did.
And they didn't show up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, Isaac, what do you think about that? With, you were talking about that wholesome, unique rapper, the guy you saw, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to talk about, like, it seems like a trend with that group that your guys you were talking about. I mean, yeah. To be a little bit more like, not arrogant as much, just not really being humble. And when it comes to things like responsibilities like this, like, and just kind of taking it like, this used to be a compliment to be offered this, you know, XXL, right? And they would, people would take it as a compliment, and they'd go and they'd show what they had, right? And I just feel like now we all know it's kind of falling apart. What did you?
Well, yeah, I think you're totally right there. And it, I think it started a couple years ago when they very clearly peaked. 2016 was a year a lot of people really started catching on to the freshman list, and then the year after it started getting kind of weird because it seemed like they were pandering, and they were picking certain people late. Like, it's like, why didn't that person get it 2 years ago? Clearly XXL doesn't really know what's going on. And what they said this year regarding interesting you should say that, they said that the egos of these guys keep getting bigger.
I think
you could, part of that is because they were brought up through social media, which is, it's ego, that's all social media is second ego, third, fourth, fifth. And so, you know, maybe I like the rappers too much, but I think XXL is really to blame here. Yeah. You know, a lot of these guys are 18, 19, and I'm sure in a lot of cases you do have to, you know, drag them by the ear to do some of this stuff. But, you know, they should want to perform at this. And it's obviously it's weird because you have three guys who should be top billed and none of them show up because they probably all want to like really be number one. But, you know, everyone there seemed to blame XXL. And I think this has happened in the past that they've held this concert. Not everyone's shown up. And the people who did were very happy to be there, which I really appreciated. Was when JID and Blockboy went up, they really made the most of it. They performed their three songs a couple times, and everyone was kind of just like, okay, but we paid $45. Where's everyone we want to see? Yeah, I think rap is fundamentally different from other genres in the sense that it really is one person, and it's their words, and it's a beat that they probably picked. And there's a lot more accountability being held on the artist for a single song, so I think that can freak a lot of these guys out. And especially when it comes to big group performances like this, you know, what if Lil Pump is thinking like, ah, if Ski Mask really outperforms me, I'm going to look so lame. I'm just not going to go. You know, I checked their Twitters. None of them were in New York that night. There was never any chance they were going to show up.
Yeah, and the thing when you're saying people were blaming XXL for this, I don't necessarily agree with that. I know they haven't been doing the greatest job, but I do think that in general what they're doing is a reflection of hip hop now when it comes to mainstream hip hop, and this is just my opinion when I'm saying this, right? And what I see with these new guys, like you said, where they're coming up with social media and they're growing up and becoming famous through this, and we know a couple local rappers who are not names. I mean, there's nothing. We're talking about social media here and how it affects the come up of rappers, right? Because we've seen some great rappers utilize social media, right, to really, really bump up their game, right? But at the same time, they don't rely on it. And now this new generation, when they've come up through social media, it's almost as if it's not as much about the music anymore and the art. And it's more about the clout and, you know, who's got the better image. And it's always been about image, but I feel like it's transitioning a bit heavier now away from the music itself and to the image.
I feel like another interesting thing is before the internet, like, you just had to tour your butt off, like, and go and play as many shows as possible. But now there's people who, like, blow up and are massive, and then they go on their first tour, which is, like, a really weird and new concept. Definitely. And I feel like they may not appreciate, like, just how crappy touring can probably be,
work,
and like sweaty and
work,
like just all the work. And it's not that it's been handed to them, because that's still hard and the internet's super saturated and it's like
hard
to make it online, even though it's like so easy to reach a lot of people. But I feel like there may be, I don't know, a lack of respect for that whole way of getting fame.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the notion of reliability, but also like the notion of passion. And passion versus just wanting the image and wanting the fame or clout, whatever you want to call it. A lot of these guys right now, it is really different because of social media, but I think speaking on like this new generation of rap, specifically of mumble rap or whatever is going to be next, the ones who are passionate enough will have longevity, and the ones who are going to not show up and take their opportunities, they're not going to be the ones who are around forever. You know, I think that there's a better chance that those are the ones who are gonna fall off, who don't show up. Like, I know a lot of the even bigger guys, like I know Chief Keef doesn't show up a lot of the time, I know Lil Uzi Vert doesn't show up a lot of the time, but I think in the long run that's gonna be an issue for them.
And I agree with that, but I think going back more to the, you know, like persona identity part of it, less so showing up, I really think we've done that, you know, society, quote unquote. I think that to really make it, and I'm putting that in quotes again, in today's music industry, you have to have some kind of aesthetic that can go with it. And I think we look at rappers a lot more this because so much of it is concentrated in them, as opposed to bands that do a similar thing. And I think, you know, social media presence is incredibly important, and it lets people like 6ix9ine become famous when they might not otherwise.
Yeah.
But what you get with that is you get the art with the artist, because you can't separate art from the artist. And I think when you're able to have it present in front of that, this is the guy making this really weird song. He's a really weird guy. That's kind of funny. That kind of makes the song better because the person making it is ridiculous. It's not some normal guy trying to be crazy. It's a crazy guy being himself. Yeah. I think the story behind a lot of this stuff is what hooks people on to some of the newer rappers. And I think that people who pay less attention to rap and can kind of look at it and just be like, oh, well, these guys are mumble rappers. You know, they don't show up to shows. They care about clout. They're 19. I think they're not really looking at the environment we've created for modern rappers and the Thunderdome where they're competing to stay relevant, because we're talking about who's going to be relevant. They're thinking about that five times as much as we are. Lil Pump knows that he probably won't stay around forever. People act like he's incredibly stupid. If you make it, you're smart. If you make it, you've clearly done something right. And I think it's important to remember that is like these guys have succeeded beyond what so many other people have. We need to cut them a break here and there.
Yeah. And I hate discrediting artists, and it's like the same thing when you talk about athletes as well. People always talk about crappy athletes in the NHL or whatever sports you watch, and just think about they made it there, and that is not easy, right? The percentage of people that make it that far, and it's the same with rap. But something that we need to definitely focus on that not many people do with the internet is the producer game here. Mm-hmm. And basically, what's happened is there's almost been a standardized platform for producers to just basically DM or post on whatever online thing, SoundCloud, their beats. And then the amount of rappers out there that can just browse through these beats, which a lot of them are actually very, very good. There's a lot of very talented producers out there. And they find a producer, and we saw it happen. Zaytoven was very early. He was before the big blow up here, but he was the first. He was one of the first to really utilize the internet to spread his trap, you know, his Zay trap. From Atlanta, and he's moving it around, right? And now I just think producers now are becoming like their own stars. But at the same time, I feel like producers are the driving force for the art and the music, and the rappers are the driving force for the identity. And when you put it together, they almost make an artist out of the two of them. We can look at Metro Boomin, and if you look at any producer or rapper, there's almost always a duo, right? Mm-hmm. There's almost always a duo where they most of the stuff is together. Yeah. You look at Murda Beatz as well. Mm-hmm. Another group, Noah Shabib with Drake. Talking about that, Drake is an artist. He is amazing. But as well, we need to give credit to his producing team, which is the best in the business. I need to put that in there. For sure.
I agree with some of that. Less of the compliments about Drake. But I do think that
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. I could talk about that for a while.
We can. Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of love to go around in the producer game. I completely agree. If you look at actually two of the acts I mentioned before, Ray Schremmerd, you know, Mike, their name is Ear Drummers Backwards. They belong to Mike Will Made It. Yeah. And I think he's doing a great job of that. And he produced if not the entirety of their first two projects. Their third one was all over the place in a good way. He curated it. You know, they're his children at this point. And if you look at Childish Gambino, and I hate myself for not knowing the name of this guy, but if you look at Donald Glover.
Are you the second guy?
Are you referring to the guy who produced every single one of his songs?
Yeah, and we can get that.
Gustav is his first name.
He's definitely European.
Yeah. And if you look through Genius, he has producer credits on just about every Gambino song that people know. And it makes Childish Gambino it's a group. You know, it's not just him.
Yeah,
Donald Glover has separated himself from that identity enough. And I think that's completely true. And, you know, Spotify is adding producer credits now.
Yeah.
So I think that with this bigger wave in EDM and this wave of trap rap that is so heavily driven by the same dozen producers, I really do think people will start getting the attention they deserve, and hip-hop will be seen as the two-sided coin. It is.
Exactly. It is a two-sided coin. Do we get the name?
His name is Ludwig Göransson.
Yeah.
I was close.
I'm trying. Yeah.
There's a couple good videos on YouTube if you want to look that name up or whatever. There's some good ones on the behind the scenes. Definitely worth a watch. Lots of good ones on that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh. Definitely, when talking about these producers, I think James Blake deserves a lot more credit. Mm-hmm. You might not know him until like you heard Astroworld this summer, but he's done work for Beyonce, for Jay-Z, for Frank Ocean, for Kendrick Lamar, and it's kind of cool because he's there, but a lot of people don't know that. And I know that he opened for Kendrick Lamar during the Damn tour because he's that big. He's a UK producer. Yeah. Definitely check him out. if you want to get into just production-based music to start, excellent place to start.
Mm-hmm.
We have 10 minutes left. Anyone want to say anything else?
I was just going to say it's like interesting also on YouTube, like a new popular genre is like a lot of producers, like they'll be like making a beat out of a sample from every single song of the new Brockhampton album, and they'll like sample each part, and they'll just like be them in their rooms like piecing everything together, and they get like a lot of views. I know a lot of people have been like learning how to like do that kind of stuff just from watching these YouTube videos, and I feel like 5 years ago, like that probably wasn't a genre and like no one may have cared, but now there's like more awareness for people more behind the scenes rather than just like the face of the music, so it's a good thing.
It's a very good thing for sure. Yeah,
definitely a good conversation.
Yeah,
a lot to say there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to talk about if you think about it though. Yeah, go ahead.
Isia, do you want to play more songs? Maybe your song of the summer if you didn't already play it.
Sure, I can play some Greg Rafferty from 1978. That's the year this song came out. It's not didn't come out this summer, but it may have come out a summer many years ago. So, somewhat accurate.
What's the song called?
Right Down the Line.
Okay.
By Jerry Rafferty, not Greg. Sorry, Jerry.
Hello, hello. Just closing off the show here. You've been listening to Word on the Street. I'm your host, Isaac. We'll be back next week, the same time, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. every Friday, right after Nightmare, the Human Serviettes show. Stop rolling your eyes, Isaiah. It's okay. Just accept it. It's going to happen. You're going to hear it a lot. You're listening to 101.9 FM. Thank you for tuning in. And this will be the last song of today. Just wanted to remind you, there's a great show after this one, too. It's called Radio Pizza Party, hosted by Jack and Tristan. And that'll be on from 6 to 7:30.
Sasquatch murder, dog bag of area. When we done move on, step steady. Real, them already far. Them a thing ya we bring drop heavy. Sasquatch murder, dog bag of area. When we done move on, step steady. Step steady. We rascal dog, I move like shark. Predator, thing them we bring where them no ready for. We rascal dog, I move like shark. Predator, thing them we bring where them no ready for. We rascal dog, I move like shark. Think them we bring where them no ready for. We rascal dog, I move like shark. Predator, think them we bring where them no ready for. Lad. So take the wire, left the wire, tell the boy from over locker. Bro, you woulda know if you see the film shatter. Come for take it all, send a chatter bag of maca. Now go do the thing at all if you not go do it proper. Man, I'm on the panic trunk, so tell a man to watch ya. Friend, you is a waste, man, I better you not catch ya. Better you not stop ya. Better say your move, better get the hat stepping for we pepper them shoes. This is where the case, man, your plan to come a copper. Cause the man no fuck around, the man is not a sucker. Man, I'm on a dapper than the one is on the gutter. Slightly have my rocker, always puffing pan the pucker. Some would say you're not a to my face, them would a stutter. If them ever try and utter them talk. We rascal dog, I move like shark. Predator, think them we bring where them no ready for. We rascal dog, I move like shark. Predator, think them we bring where them no ready for. Yeah. Step steady, yeah. Hey, step steady, yeah. Step steady, yeah. When we done move on, step steady, yeah. Steady, yeah. I'm a rapper who will drop a rhyme, shatter mine. Same time, bust a line, I make mine slow. Who feed nice, panda lines I sow. Like food, panda fine, every time we'll grow. Straight sunshine with the H2O. That's me, panda beat when I speak and I flow. Bare heat when the beats on the mouse to the O. You to the T, fit me like whoa. Perfect fit like the perfect skit. When the herbs get lit, shine a perfect glow. Inhale deep, let the smoke out slow. As the smoke exhale, let the folks them know. Ain't none better, straight trendsetter. We walk the path where the others won't go. Won't fall off ever, tell a boy never. Who think that can kiss me bumbo? We rascal dark, I move like shark. Predator, think them we bring where them no.